far as like snacks, the fridge, drinks, anything like that, make sure the parents are giving it to the children. Of course, obviously, if it's a teenager or something, they can handle it, but just mitigate that. And then right there at the bottom, we have souls won for the year. We have 156 souls, and we've had one baptism so far this year. Around Memorial Day, my son is going to attempt to get baptized. If you were here a couple of years ago, you would know why I'm making that statement. If you weren't, maybe I'll tell you that story at a later time. But the birthdays and anniversaries, Sister Leticia had a birthday. It seems like yesterday. So happy birthday. Yeah. And then we have the Levesque, Addie Levesque, March 11th. And then the Capriotti's anniversary, the 25th. And then, Pat, go ahead.
Tomorrow is Marcel and my second year.
Oh, good. Happy anniversary. Remind me to write that down. Thank you for letting me know that. 2 years. Amen. And then upcoming activities. So Pastor Cobb was here. Pray for him. He actually left just a few minutes ago. He was not feeling well. But today actually is the day when he showed up to Springcrest 49 years ago. So he's actually celebrating 49 years at Springcrest Baptist. And I wanted to make a bigger stink, but he's not here, so we'll just do a little one. But do pray for him. He'll be 90 this year, and I think his wife's like either mid-80s or close to like either 85 or 86, I think. So I mean, they're still out on their own. They still do everything on their own time and their own schedule, and I think that's amazing. That's what I look forward to. And then we have the Soul Winning Marathon March 21st, and Pastor Bruce Mejia is coming that Sunday, preaching both services for us. So we're looking forward to that. As we get closer, we'll make an announcement for that event. And then April 4th, I did add that just now, and there's a little QR code. So Pastor Shelley has a website called God Resource in there. He has different things. And on there, he's actually has where you can register all the events. So I went ahead and registered our event on there. That's the QR code. So if you guys want to register just so we have a count, that would be the place to do so. Just that's that QR code, and it's for the Mega Soul Winning Marathon here in Houston. That's for our church. Now, if anybody wants to host like a regional one, like Jerry, you're welcome. I mean, you guys obviously are here. You can do this one. Or if we want to do regional ones, let me know. We can do that if other people want to get plugged in. Obviously, we're promoting it. But that's the Mega Soul Winning Marathon. All the details are there. So just go to that QR code as well for any of the details. And then the April 18th University of Houston Soul Winning Marathon. The only thing we need to define is where we need to meet. So that's the only thing I messed up last week. And then I do want to go ahead and I keep forgetting. Man, I'm glad everybody came. That's such a blessing. So I got all the gift cards. So Gentry, come here. Thanks, brother. So I got congratulations. Go ahead and give this to Cynthia, Leticia, and Sheena. They're on this side. And we got the gift cards for everybody that did the New Testament challenge. My wife is one of them. Sister Sylvia. I was telling my wife, I finished the January challenge, but I do not get an award. If I don't finish a challenge as your pastor, that's embarrassing, right? Like, I don't need a gift card to tell me I need to read my Bible. So, because she's like, "What about just like I'm not part of this program. I'm on another program." Like, so, but congratulations. And by the way, yeah, anytime there's 31 days in a month, if you just do it and let me know. I mean, obviously, I don't care. You can lie to me. Don't lie to God. But as long as you come and tell me, we will continue to do the. So, the gift card, like I said, is just fleeting. $25 in today's economy is not that much. But the wisdom you're going to get and the benefit from reading your Bible, especially your New Testament all the way through in 31 days is amazing. So that's really the huge benefit. So we'll put that out there all day long, as long as you guys are reading your Bible. I know Jaclyn was telling me she wants to read it this month, so you know, I'm gonna hold you to it. I didn't mean to call you out, but I did. So, and then I keep forgetting, man, honey, I need your help with this stuff because I'm just running wild. Marcel, so please, let's continue to pray for the expecting mothers, Haley Maludich, Christian Rogers, Marcel. I know Christian went to the doctor yesterday, so she just needs a lot of rest. So just pray for her. The baby's fine, but she just needs rest. Brother Kevin called me about that yesterday. So is there anything else that we need to – I'm just trying to think. Are there any other announcements or anything besides the Yeah, absolutely. We'll pray for her. I mean, that's that is. So pray for Marcel. She's in the first trimester, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the rough one. So, like I know, that's the rough one, brother. You know, you just need it. So we'll pray for Marcel. And if you guys need anything, just let us know. And then, other than that, if we could get Sister Leticia to stand up, we'll. Oh, go ahead. No, it's not. Why do I have it here? It's your daughter's birthday. Well, we still love you. We're going to celebrate you anyway. When's your birthday? December. So why do I have this wrong? All right. Well, what's your daughter's birthday? What's her name? Rebecca. Okay. And is her last name Miranda? I get it. Huh? Okay. No problem. I'm so sorry. You know, I just go based off of whatever's on the CRM, and sometimes, you know, I get stuff mixed up all the time. So, but we wanted to celebrate you. So either way, you know, happy belated birthday and happy birthday again. You know, so. Yeah. Oh yeah, Addie, if we could get Addie to stand up because it is on the 11th. I don't know which one of your kids is Addie. Okay, there you go, Addie, Adelaide. So we can join in singing happy birthday. We're gonna sing happy birthday to somebody. We're not leaving. It's just funny, you know. So happy birthday to Addie on the 1st. Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday, God bless you, happy birthday to you. All right, let's turn our hymnals over to page 75, and we're going to be in Romans 10, 75. Oh, that's what I wanted to say. So I do need Matt. You're running the soul winning. I have to go to the hospital today. Somebody wants me to give a gospel to someone that's on. I can't give more information other than someone's has like a big tumor in their head. They have a big surgery on Tuesday, and they requested that I go give them gospel. But if anybody knows, if you've ever been in the medical center, that's probably like as soon as the service is over, I'll hang out and then leave so I can try to make it back on time because the medical center is a fiasco all in itself. But do pray for that. That person would be receptive and that we could lead them to the Lord. So Matt, you're in charge of all of it today. Sorry. I think you can handle it. Yeah. So let's go to number 75 on Jordan Stormy Banks. On Jordan Stormy Banks I stand and cast a wishful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie. I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. All other though my splendid plain shine on eternal day, there God the sun forever reigns and scatters night away. Land, I am bound for the promised land. Oh, his breath can reach that helpful shore. Sickness and sorrow, pain and death are felt and fear no more. I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come in? I am bound for the promised land. When shall I reach that happy place and be forever blessed? When shall I see my Father's face and in his bosom's rest? I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. All right, let's turn our hymnals over to page 413. 413. Oh, by the way, is everybody okay? I didn't want to change so quick, but in April, I'm just going to push the Wednesday time to either 6:30 or 7 for the Wednesday evening service. I think it'll at least encourage people to maybe make it. 5:30 is just too early, you know, with the traffic and everything. But now that, you know, the light's extended out by the time April comes, I think it should be, it'll balance out between those that can make it and don't mind driving in the dark and those that always want to be here but don't want to drive in the dark. So trying to find the balance, but that's what I'm going to do. So unless anybody has any opposition, that's probably what we'll do starting in April. But let's go ahead and turn our hymnals over to page 413. Stand up for Jesus.
Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. His royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead, till every foe is vanquished and Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up for Jesus, the trumpet call obey. For to the mighty conflict in this is glorious day. Ye that are men now serving against unnumbered foe, let courage rise with danger, strength oppose. Stand up for Jesus, and in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you, ye dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor, and watching unto prayer, where duty calls or danger, be never standing there.
All right, turn your Bibles over to Romans 10. Romans 10.
Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter number 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 1, the Bible reads, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise: Say not in thine heart, Who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or, Who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. What saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily their sound went into all the earth, and their words into the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold, and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, All day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Let us bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for adopting us into your family. Thank you for giving us an incorruptible inheritance. Lord, thank you for gathering us here this morning. Lord, we pray that you soften our hearts and give us ears to hear so that we may become more effective servants for you. Lord, please fill Pastor Reyes with your spirit and allow him to preach boldly from this pulpit. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, you guys are there in Romans 10. Romans 10. Get my timer here. We're there in Romans 10, and the title of the message this morning is the KJV and soul winning. KJV and soul winning, or the King James Bible and soul winning. King James Bible and soul winning. Let's look at a couple of verses there, and then I'll set this thing up. But right there in verse 1 of Romans 10, the Bible says, Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. You know, we've said this before, and this is not a sermon about the modern day state of Israel or the Jews, but we might as well touch on it since they've been on the news a lot. Our only desire for the state of Israel is that they would be saved, the Bible says. And that's our desire in 2026. It says, For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. They're zealous, but they don't know what they're talking about. And then verse 3 says, For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. You know, the problem with modern day Israel, and actually the problem with just anybody who's not saved, is that they're not willing to submit to God's righteousness, right? That's the biggest challenge, and that's what actually inspired this sermon even today. This the title, KJV and Soul Winning, is that there is an onslaught of people that don't believe, number one, that the King James is the only word of God for the English-speaking people, but then they get offended when you say that the only people you actually see soul winning are those that are using the King James. And it's interesting because I scoured the earth, as you would say. I didn't, but I did a lot of research, and I've yet to find a soul-winning group that uses anything but the King James. You know, it's just an interesting thing. But let's go there, verse 9. The Bible clearly tells us that. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. That word ashamed there means not just shameful, but not let down, right? You're not going to be let down. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But then these verses really stand out, huh? How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I mean, and there's so many verses that we could go to that give us the indication, the commandment, the instruction to literally go out and preach the gospel. I mean, what was Jesus' feet were anointed, right? By Mary, right? Jesus washed what? Only the feet, because it's the feet that matter, because it's what's doing the work. Everything else has already been sanctified, you know? And what I mean by that is it's a picture. Obviously, we're sanctified in the spirit. This is a corruptible body that one day will take on incorruption. But you see this constant just theme of the feet being something that's really important, because it's the work that we are called to do. And yet people will still fight it, and they get all annoyed and they get all offended when you call them out for being lazy and wicked. I mean, that's really all it is if you're not a soul winner and you're not capable, there's two things, right? If you're not capable of going soul winning, because we have people in our church that are, you know, elderly, that just aren't able to move like they used to when they were younger, then be pro soul winning and pray. You know, obviously Pastor Cobb is almost 90 years old, right? But he's not like being a stumbling block. If anything, I mean, it would be his desire that he could turn back the clock, you know, and just go out soul winning with us. You know, I have those conversations with him. And, you know, I'm pretty sure if I asked him, you know, I'm always very careful, he would go. Obviously, I'm not going to put him through the ringer on that, but it's not like he's opposed to it. That's one thing. But if you're capable, if you're not maimed, if you're not, handicapped or anything, you should be out there soul winning. You say, well, I've never gone soul winning. Well, then go with someone who knows how to do it and just be a silent partner. The Bible just says to go out and preach the word. And if you're not preaching, you know, we have clear examples that it's okay to not always be the talker. Moses said, hey, I can't speak. And God actually got mad at him, number one. But number two, he said, well, I'm still going to send you. It's just Aaron will be your mouthpiece. So God will find a way to get you out there if you're willing to do the work, right? But what really inspired this was Pastor Oz came and preached for us a couple of weeks ago. Remember that? That was a great weekend. We had a really good time. We went to NASA, and he preached the sermons. And what I typically do or try to do is I have a VA in the Philippines for my business that I pay out of my pocket, and just in case anybody's going to question any of that. But I also have this individual take all our videos and just put them through a software called Opus Clip. It's real simple. It takes a 1-hour sermon and it'll give us like 20 to 30 clips of that sermon. That's the only way that I'm ever able to get any content out. Like other than that, I'm just too busy. And so as soon as he preached, I really wanted to do both sermons, but it's hard, you know, because I still have to review everything. I think I found a solution that's going to make it better, but that's not here nor there. But long story short, what she does is she'll put all the videos, and then I still have to review them because obviously she's saved. I led her to the Lord, but they're not new IFB. They're not, you know, they don't understand every. So I don't want to just put every, if it's eclipse stuff, and sometimes it's in context, sometimes it's out. Like you have to still tweak it a little bit, but it's way faster. So I went in there and I, Pastor Oz's sermon, Keep Fighting, I clipped it up. I went in there, I cleaned it up, and I started posting. And there's this literally, it's a 47-second clip that was posted on February 27th. And the clip title, by the way, the titles are just AI generated. So if you ever see a title from us, it maybe reads weird, it's just because it's AI and I'm just moving quickly. As long as it's not like egregious or sounds really crappy, I'm just going to probably just put it out there. Just so you guys know, I learned a long time ago, imperfect action is better than perfect inaction. So I'm just getting stuff out there, right? And the second, the clip says, it's titled King James Bible, Soul Winning Church's Secret Weapon, from the sermon Keep Fighting. That's it. And the clip is this. And this, I talked about it a couple weeks ago, but I just, you know, just so you guys get the clip in context, it says, if the King James Bible is such a hindrance to the gospel, why is it that every soul winning church I've ever heard of in my life uses the King James Bible, right? And then I guess somebody said amen, so it's in the transcript. It's like, why is it that I've never run into a soul winner using the NIV or ESV? That's right, because that's right, the New American Standard. Preach the new King James, you know, in Oklahoma City. I'm sorry, it took the transcript, but basically saying that when he's out there, people are not even using the New King James, right? And that in Oklahoma City, he's thankful. I said, I thank God I live in the Bible Belt, and I heard it called once by Pastor Anderson, it's the buckle of the Bible Belt. Let me tell you that it's true, because when I go soul winning, not only do I constantly run into people that are saved at the door, I run into other soul winners from other churches that are saved out soul winning all the time. Praise God. And you know, every single time I do that, you know that book they have in their hand? The King James Version, the King James Bible. It's not a hindrance to the gospel. I mean, this is how people get the gospel. It's through the King James Bible. All right? And that's it. That was the whole clip. And I'm sorry if I butchered it. This is just the transcript. Sometimes it doesn't draw it. But you guys can go on our Facebook, YouTube, and listen to it. I mean, most of you here, I would say all of you here, would listen to that and be like, that would be like the least controversial of all the clips that we put out there, right? In that same sermon, he addressed Billy Graham going to hell and being a false preacher. He said he addressed women, you know, dressing appropriately and not being an abomination in the eyes of God. I think in that same sermon, he talked about fags and queers and sodomites. I mean, he touched on almost every subject. And this is the one that made everybody angry, which I thought was really interesting, right? Like this very, in our world, milquetoast, right? It's, we all love the King James and we go soul winning with the King James. But man, people got all up in arms about it. As of this morning at 10 o'clock this morning, and this is not any other channels, only Facebook, it had 9,300 views, right? It had 323 interactions. It had 5,500 unique viewers. So it's not just the views, because some people keep coming back. Like me, I kept going in there to piss people off. So, you know, it's counting me twice or three times. It had, as of this morning at 10 a.m., it had 183 comments, 33 shares, 9 saves. And it's a 47 clip, so you got to realize how much people are watching it. It's been watched one day in 16 hours. That means these people are just like, listening, you know, maybe the angry ones are just listening to it. I mean, that's a lot, right? So I'm going to go through. Obviously, we don't have time to go through here, but I'm just going to give you some of the ones that stood out, some of the comments that really stood out, because this is actually a reflection. This is a really good cross-section of Christianity in America, right? Because this started getting boosted. So what Facebook does is it's like, oh, somebody like this, and it starts getting into audiences that are not necessarily friendly to us or that are our friends, right? So when we post, like, for example, in a listeners group, like the Faithful Word listeners group or the New IFB group, well, we're preaching to the choir, right? So we might get a little viral in there, but that has no real bearing on the outside world. But when you post just in general, and then it takes off, the algorithm saying, hey, people are liking this, so let's get into other people's feeds that might be Christian-based but not necessarily line up with all our beliefs, right? Because it's a Christian type of post. So what I'm saying with this is that we're reaching new audiences that have nothing to do with us, right? And the first one that I saw was a guy by the name of Justin Price. And by the way, I call these people out because it's public. Like, you can just go on there. It's not like I'm embarrassing anybody. They publicly made a post with their name, with their profile that you could click and go see their history. Like, it's not like, you know, I'm calling anybody out. And he says, I think you need to get out a little bit more, sir. So that was the first one. And, you know, usually we get comments. And so I'll dig in because we don't get that many comments. So this is like a couple of weeks ago when it first started, right? So I click this guy's profile. And the very first thing I see in his post, like his latest post, was this ugly, just dyke-looking, just hag is what I called her, preaching from a pulpit. Right? This guy that's calling us out is like the post that he's putting out there, some lady preacher, which that's an oxymoron because there's no way that a woman could be a preacher. Right? It says, your profile is a post. So this is what I said. I said, your profile is a post of some hag pretending to do a man's job, definitely not taking any advice from your effeminate words. Like, I'm just letting them know how we feel, right? It's like, definitely, I'm not going to listen to you. Like, I'm not interested. There's some guy named Jonathan. And by the way, I only have like 8 or 10 of these. I'm not going to, obviously there's 183 comments. Jonathan Irriton, this guy wrote, it's hard to believe that the church grew and people were saved before 1611. So he's mocking, right? Obviously he's not read or listened to the sermon in context, because when we say that the King James is the word of God, it's for the English speaking people. You know what I don't read when I'm reading in Spanish? The King James. I read my Reina Valera Gomez 2010. Right? And if I spoke any other language, I would read whatever the preserved word would be for that language. I'm not reading the King James in German or Portuguese or whatever other language would be out there. But he's saying here, it's a translation, bro. While it's a good one, if you're serious about pastoring, you should also be referencing other trustworthy translations and the Hebrew and Greek. Exegesis of scripture is key. Not trying to create division among Christ's church due to your bias pertaining to translation. This guy, Scott Stevenson, he says, yes, we should all use the good old King James Bible. I mean, hey, if it was good enough for the Apostle Paul. So, you know, it's interesting because people start, what, scoffing and mocking, which is a clear indication that we're on the right path, because the Bible says in the last days there shall be mockers, right? I mean, the book of Jude actually warns us about that, right? Some guy named Dave Brown says, false premise. Listen, there are other people and they use modern translations to share and teach the gospel. So winning is not only defined as going door to door to strangers, it's also long relationships of prayer and gospel-centered conversation with people we interact with every day. King James onlyism is absolutely false. Now notice nobody's giving us chapter and verse. They're just giving us their opinion. Chris Bennett here says, I heard even Jesus carried a King James just for clarification. You know, people think they're just so funny and they're, you know, what makes me sad is, you know, one of the comments, I don't think I have it here. I think I told someone, I was like, look, keep making fun. I'm going to be laughing at you when I'm with God. Right. And people got like a little angry about that, but it's the truth. The Bible says it's literally in the book of Psalms and in the book of Proverbs where God says that he will be laughing at them, that he will laugh at their derision. Right. And their calamity. The Bible, you know, we might go there for, but let me see where we are on time. Chris Bennett here says, I heard even Jesus carried a KJV for clarification. I think I read that. And then I responded to him, idiot. And then Adam Corbett said, Springcrest Baptist Church. Wow. Your conduct is uncontrolled and there's no righteousness of God in you. Thanks, Adam. Jesse Haar wrote, soul winning sounds pretty self-righteous to me. Bible, 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 and no gospel. Where do we get the gospel from? The Bible. Hello. It says people don't get the gospel from the Bible. Faith comes by hearing. Soul winning. This is the same guy in another post. He's like, soul winning, question mark. Sounds pretty self-righteous. Oh, I sorry. I don't know how I ended up doing double. In the same one, he's like, he responded to someone who was pro for soul winning in the King James. And he's like, God wins souls. I give an answer for the hope that I have. And here's another argument we're going to see here is, number one, people don't believe that it's only the King James. And number two, people don't believe that we get the credit for winning souls. Everybody wants to argue, like, And by the way, we've made this argument, but I think we need to hammer it down because it's evident by this response that people are being backslidden and that people are wicked and they're slothful and they don't like being pricked at the heart, right? I mean, 47 seconds of a clip that for most anybody that grew up with a King James Bible, like they would hear that and be like, oh, that was nice, move on. I mean, literally, if he wouldn't have preached it here and he would have posted that, I probably would have just liked it and then moved on. Like, it wouldn't have even registered as something controversial in my mind. And probably the most of you here wouldn't have done that either, right? James Griffin says, making mountains out of molehills is a hindrance to the gospel. And then it's funny, because nobody, you know, I mean, he did mention him there, but, like, he's preaching at Springcrest Baptist Church. And he says, and Steven Anderson is a wolf in sheep's clothing. By the way, I give people the gospel frequently from NASB, ESV, NKJV, and others. It's not the Bible that saves. It's the God of the Bible that saves for his glory, not for the glory of those who boast about a particular translation. Which is interesting because I still have to yet find a soul winner that uses anything but the King James. Joel Strickland, and I've only got like two more here, a soul winner, and then he's got a smiley face. He's making, he put it in quotation marks. The only one who soul wins is God. The Holy Spirit so shut it all the way down, guy. Which I guess he's not read the book of Acts. Even Paul himself had to be led by somebody. The Lord blinded him. Jesus blinded him. But it wasn't until, Ananias showed up and led him to the Lord, right? And I hope I got that name right. But whatever, the guy was sent and he's like, hey, I don't want to go because Paul is known for what? Persecuting the church and persecuting Christians. And he said, you go. And then he gave him the gospel. And it was what? As if scales fell out of his eyes. And then he believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't just like, who was the one doing the work? Vic Anderson says, a prayer to our Lord Satan. And then he actually wrote out an entire prayer to Satan on the Facebook post. I'm not going to read that. And then some guy named Brian Frake says, you have nothing to do with the church Christ founded in 33 AD. First of all, your church didn't exist until the 17th century. Therefore, how are you any kind of expert? We in the Orthodox Church own the oldest copy of the New Testament in Greek, and the translation lines up just fine with the King James. By the way, no one is already saved. That remains to be seen on Judgment Day. So what is it? It's the arguments that we get out soul winning, right? People are like, nobody really knows who, you know, if you're saved. Only God knows. God's the one that does the soul winning, you know, the saving. But that's not biblical. What's evident by this is that we need to preach God's word even more because people don't even know the word of God. They have no idea. And, you know, the one thing that really stands out to me is that we will not only, you know, I was having a conversation with someone and they made me mad about something else. I was having a conversation with someone and I was angry at somebody else about it. And I said, you know what? I'm going to do it even more, right? Like, I'm just going to do that thing even more. And you know what? We're going to preach about the King James and soul winning even more. You know, if it's going to make you that mad, well, then I'll just preach about it all the time. You want to preach happy Jesus, we'll preach the King James and we'll preach soul winning even more until you're just so mad about it that, I don't know, your head explodes or whatever. Then in addition to that, I got a couple of private messages. And this is where I'll, you know, and there was a pastor who said he's been pastoring for 25 years. So he's about my age, so he started way younger, and he reached out to me personally. His name is Kurt Bowman, and he wrote on there, and he actually was on there, but then he sent me a private message, and he says, hello, brothers in Christ. Today I came across a video that you put on Facebook. I grew up in a Baptist church. Pay attention to this first part, because this is the first private message he says. He says, I grew up in a Baptist church and grew up with the King James. I am very grateful for my heritage. I learned many memory verses in the King James. I've been a pastor for almost 25 years, and many of those years with the Christian and missionary lives, which I didn't even want to go into it, but it's basically some Pentecostal Protestant derivative that from a guy in 1887 who's just basically nuts. So the guy's really backslidden, right? He says, I have a very high view of Scripture and believe God's word. The gospel is the power of God's salvation. I preach using other translations, and God speaks to his people through his word. Not just one translation. I was grieved to see your interaction with a person, Justin Price, who commented on your video. I get you disagree with women preachers or pastors, but calling her a hag seemed way out of line. Notice he wasn't worried about defending God. He was worried about some dyke that got up there and preached, right? I felt it best to contact you through private messenger than by adding a comment to the threat that could cause more harm. He said, I understand your video was a short clip and that could be taken out of context, but I have seen firsthand many people that win souls to Jesus that use the King James and those who do not. It's not the translations that saves, but Jesus. I would encourage you as a brother in Christ, who I'm sure loves the Lord and other believers, to be careful about how you speak to those who hold different views. God bless you and your church. And then he signs it. And then I read it. I actually meant to respond, but I'm just super busy. It's just really hard, right? Like, that's why all my responses are like one word. So then, this is like Monday or Tuesday, maybe Wednesday. It was early in the week. He sends me another message. He says, brothers, I am grieved to read the comments you and others have made towards one another. There's very, very little Christian love being displayed in the comments of this video. As I read more comments, even since I sent you the initial message, you called someone an idiot, an ass. I really hope that is a typo, a fool, and said you would laugh at them with God. Your video is on so many, and yet I wonder how a non-believer would be drawn to Christ through this back and forth if they saw it. You're not alone at fault, but you are the one who posted the video and responded to people's comments. I was very tempted to respond in the comments, but I think that would cause you more harm than good. I do not expect a response from you, and that is fine, and you can disagree with me all you want. Two scriptures that stand out to me in the moment are these. And then he quotes Matthew 5:22 and Ephesians 4:29. And then he said, I send you this as a fellow pastor and fellow brother in Christ. I pray God will use our churches and bring many souls into kingdom, and the body of Christ will be put up for its glory. So I immediately responded and I said, call me. And I gave him my cell phone number. And I think this guy thought like he was getting through to me, right? So he's like, I'll call you at 11:30, whatever, Eastern time, whatever. He's up in like Michigan. I'm not going to read the whole, it was a 5-minute conversation. And anything like that, I usually record just for the sake of having a record. But this is the summary of the conversation. Basically, like he starts out trying to be like, what is it? He tries to, you know, build rapport. He's like, oh, I went to Baytown one time, and how far is that? And blah, blah, blah. And, you know, and immediately I just was like, well, you, Kurt, all I want to know is if you were to die today, are you 100% sure you're going to heaven? And here's the interesting part about Kurt. He said, yeah. And he gave the right response. He's like, he had faith in Christ, his death, resurrection, and salvation by grace. And then I said, hey, well, is there anything you could do to lose your salvation? He's like, I don't believe so. Now, do you really think he got saved in the missionary alliance, whatever? Or do you think he got saved when he grew up in an independent, fundamental Baptist church that preached the King James Bible? Look, he didn't have to tell me. I know where he got saved, right? The reason he went into the ministry was because he grew up in church, right? And then, by the way, I did this transcript on AI, so AI is giving the feedback, right? Like I said, give me a summary of the key points of this conversation. So when I read this, just remember, it's AI responding to this. It says, the conversation then turns confrontational when the first speaker insists that only the King James Bible is the true word of God and claims modern Bible versions are corrupt. The first speaker, me, accuses Kurt of backsliding because he reads other Bible versions. That's what I told him. I said, look, I said, I'm glad you're saved. I said, I'm not even questioning your salvation. I'm not here to fight it. You answered everything correctly. You actually gave a really good presentation. I said, the problem is you're backslidden and you're more of a detriment to the cause of Christ than you are a help. Right? He's like, I guess Kurt here attempts a discussion. But so then he tries to appeal to my heartstrings, right? He's like, hey, you know, I have a really good friend who's a pastor, who's King James only, and he's a really good friend of mine. And, you know, we're going through the same journey because my wife has breast cancer, and which, you know, I'll pray for his family. And, you know, cancer is a horrible disease. But you know what's the worst disease? Ending up in hell for all eternity, right? If his wife is saved, which probably she is, if she were to die, God willing, she doesn't die soon. But if she does, it doesn't matter because you know where she's going? To heaven, right? So don't try to appeal to my like heartstrings and all that stuff. So I just cut him off, right? And basically, I was like, look, man, you know, I'm glad that you talk to people, but 1 Corinthians 5 says that you shouldn't have any fellowship with railers. And I said, you're railing against the word of God. He's like, no, I'm not. I said, yeah, you are. Anytime you use a perversion, you're attacking the word of God. And you know what it is? You're a railer. And the Bible says that I don't want to have any fellowship with anybody like that. And then basically the way he ended this, he's like, well, this isn't going anywhere. God bless you. And he hung up on me. It's interesting that he's the one that didn't want to cause any harm. It's a good thing I have a thick skin and I don't care. I've had more people hang up on me in my entire life. I'm in sales, buddy. Like, I've done cold calling since I was a young man. You know what cold calling does? It gives you a thick skin, because you know what people do? Brother Matt was helping me one day with like the CRM, and I'm helping this client out, and you know, he's a programmer. So I said, hey, can you take a look at this? And he was helping me with some AI, and he was having a gay old time with the responses. Because, you know, when you're sending out cold texts, people are like, F you, and you piece of this, and you know, people cuss you upside one and the other. So you hanging up on me, like, I literally, when people hang up on me, you know what I do? I just, like, start doing whatever I need to do next, right? But I did call him out, and what's interesting is later on, I didn't put that here, like, the whole rest of the conversation was like, well, I'm interested how you reach this conclusion. And you know what I ended up sending was the preserved word. If you've not seen that documentary, it's a really well-put documentary by Steadfast Baptist Church. Pastor Shelley did a great job. If your kids have not seen it, I think it's a great history lesson for your kids. It would be a great homeschool project, because it actually goes through and does a really good job of telling you why we're King James only, how God preserved his word. And, you know, God willing, I pricked at his heart enough that he'll come back. I said, look, at the end of the day, I think the last response I said was like, just come back home, brother. Come back where you belong. You know, you're the prodigal son left, and he was out there with the pigs and the harlots and spending all the money. And then when he came back, the dad was just happy to see him. He's like, give him the robe and kill the fatted calf, right? That's what we want to do. We want to bring them all back home. Everybody that grew up King James and is all anti-King James now, hey, come home. We're right here. We're not going to judge you. We're not going to make fun of you. We're going to teach you how to mock all the other people so that you get the same responses. And by the way, it's biblical. If you've not read, remember, is it Elijah or Elijah? One of the Elijahs, right? He gets up. I think it's Elijah. And he gets up and he's like, hey, where's your God? Is he might be asleep. Why don't you wake him up? I mean, that's mocking and making fun of somebody, right? And God bless that. But I've got 3 points for you today. Go over to 1 John. Go over to 1 John. I wanted to set this up because this is actually a really important subject. And by the way, you know, you say, well, why are you drawing from something like this? Because our goal is to reach new audiences, right? You know, I love preaching to the choir, but you are not my concern, right? As far as like reaching people and pulling them out of hell. Now, you're my concern in edifying and giving you proper doctrine and cleaning you up and making you a stronger soul winner, a stronger warrior for Christ. Yes, that is my concern. But I can only do so much, right? Because I'm not to lord over your life. My duty is to show up every Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday, and any other time we can. And your duty is to show up and then learn from the Word of God, right? So I'm fulfilling that concern by being here. If you're not here, that's your fault, right? Like, I can't do anything about it. But what I can do is go out and confront people about their eternal state. But we can control that. We do control that. We do it every Sunday. And then other groups, you know, we have other people that are soul winning during the week. We do it as much as possible. It's my prayer that one day we have soul winners going out every single day. It's my prayer that one day, whether it's the business or the church grows enough to support a pastor full time, then I could go out there and do 2, 3, 4 times a week soul winning. That would be my prayer. But if not, at least I'm going to facilitate everybody that can to go out and soul win as much as possible. And I expect you, as a matter of fact, it's a commandment from God and from this church that if you're out soul winning, you better be using the King James. And if you don't agree, then leave. You know, there's apparently a bunch of churches that'll take you in, you know. So, you know, but the first point I have for you is this is a really good just recap, but this is something that you need to just iron in, you need to anchor into your life. The King James Bible produces certainty of salvation. It produces certain. There is no other book that'll give you the certainty than the King James Bible. No other, right? The modern churches and the modern Bibles, you know, they're full of people that are what? They hope they're saved. And you know what? This is not just a statement I put here. We have the proof. Because every time we go out soul winning, at least somebody in our group will run into somebody that says, well, I hope. I don't know, but I hope. I treat people right. I do good. I hope that I go to heaven. The Bible says that I know I'm going to heaven. Right? See, soul winners go out there because we know we're saved. So we're certain, we're authoritative, and we want to give people the confidence that when they know like we know. Right? And the King James is really the only one that does that. So today I'm going to give you some verses. I don't have that many verses because I'm going to do this back and forth. And I'm going to give you the verse either in the ESV or the NIV that lines up with that same verse. So I can prove to you that I'm not just like picking a side just to be like some stubborn old, you know, guy who doesn't believe in change. If anything, I love change, but in the world, but I just don't love changing the word of God, right? There's certain things you don't change. 1 John 5, the Bible says in verse 11, go to 1 John 5 and verse 11, it says, and this is the record, and I underline that, pay attention, that God gave unto, that God hath given us, given to us eternal life, and the life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And I underline that, so pay attention to that part. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we speak anything according to his will, he heareth us. And when if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. In the ESV, verse 11 says, and this is the testimony, which is not the same, because a testimony, because he's not, Jesus was very specific, he said, God and I give each other testimony. But without being very specific, it could be anybody's testimony. He's saying this is the record. This is actually in stone. It's written, right? That God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whosoever has the Son has the has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. And then verse 13, he says, in the ESV, it says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. And you're like, well, that sounds very similar, except they didn't even add the last part. You know, that last part says, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. You know, in the King James, it doubles up between the knowledge, saying, hey, we want to make sure you get this thing right. And then it says, and this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he'll hear us. And we know that he hears us, that whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked. And they just kind of water it down. You say, well, there was some truth in there. Yeah, but you know what? It starts to not be so sound, not be so authoritative. And, you know, if you read the Bible long enough, you learn. If there's a little truth sprinkled with a lie, it's not. There's no truth sprinkled in there. It's just a lie. It's either all true or it's a lie. It can't be both. Go to John 5, verse 24. Go to John 5, verse 24. In 5:24, the Bible says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth the word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. In the NIV, it says, verily, verily, I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but crossed over from death to life. Well, the challenge with that is that judgment is objective evaluation of actions to discern right from wrong, often intended for correction or understanding, but condemnation is harsh, self-righteous, and often final judgment that attacks a person's worth. Now, I'm giving you like a world's definition, but I want to point out that there is a difference, right? Defining them by their mistake rather than allowing for grace or redemption. In other words, judgment is like discernment focuses on actions aimed at understanding, correction, and restoration. It asks the question, what is right? Whereas condemnation focuses on the person, aimed at shaming, isolating, declaring the worthlessness or they're not irredeemable. It's a final sentence, right? She'll not come into what? The final sentence. There's no more like, are we figuring this thing out? There is no figuring out. If you're condemned, there is no out, right? There's a difference. A judgment means you're going to stand before a judge and he's still trying to figure out, are you in or are you out? But the King James says, hey, with a certainty, if you don't believe on the Son, there is no out, right? Because the judgment then kind of leaves it open to, well, maybe if I do good enough, I could still get in. Maybe if I just, I don't know, give a little bit more or build another house or feed another homeless child or whatever, then, but that's not what the Bible, you know, is saying in the King James, the Word of God. Here's an example. Identifying that a person is lying is judgment. Calling them a worthless liar is condemnation, right? We're calling people out. I don't want to, I mean, I've already identified the liar. I'm going to call you a liar. What did Jesus do? He said, you are of your father, the devil. He didn't say, let me see if you're of your father, the devil, right? That's what judgment would be. He said, you are of your father, the devil. And whatever your father did, you're doing. That's why they crucified him. Go to Romans 10 right there in verse 9. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess, I'm going to start going a little bit faster here, just for the sake of time. It says that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be served. That's verse 9. Then you go to verse 17. It says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In the ESV, it says in verse 9, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, pay attention. It's subtle, but it's there. No, you don't confess that Jesus is Lord. You just confess the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, don't be so arrogant to think that you hold some power over God, and now you say, well, now you're my Lord. He's Lord whether you ask him to be Lord or not. Verse 17 says, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Not by the word of Christ. By, and by the way, this is a very common thing that we do in English. We use those interchangeably, but we shouldn't, because they actually don't mean the same thing. By is used when we are talking about a means or a mechanism or an agency of something. Through is when we're talking about systems and processes of something. Notice that it's the process of being saved versus the mechanism of which we have salvation. What's the mechanism? Jesus Christ. But if there's a process, then it's that it, you could argue that it's not just Jesus, but it's Jesus plus or minus, right? It's very subtle, but what is the devil? Subtle, the Bible tells us. Acts 16, verse 31 says, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. The new IFB says, they replied, believe in the Lord Jesus. They removed the word Christ, and you will be saved in your house. So you say, well, what's the big difference? Well, both Lord Jesus and Lord Jesus Christ refer to the same person, but Lord Jesus Christ is a more complete, formal title emphasizing his full identity, authority, role, and what? What does Christ mean in the Old Testament? Messiah. And who hates that word? The Jews. It's interesting that they would get rid of the Messiah in the new versions when we know that he is our Messiah. I literally saw a clip about Sam Gibbs saying that Jesus isn't your Messiah. There's groups of people out there that don't think Jesus is my Messiah, because it emphasizes, you know, humanity and lordship, while Christ has the significance of his role. Basically, Lord Jesus is what? The theological title, like Lord signifies the divinity, the supreme authority, the deity, right? Jesus represents the human nature, like the earthly incarnation, and Christ refers to what? The anointed one, the Messiah, the King. It's subtle, because somebody will argue, well, it says the same thing. No, it doesn't say the same thing. It's not the same thing, right? And here's the interesting, people that know they're saved, what are they? They're bold. They're not afraid to stand up for what's right. You know, when we were out soul winning in the marathon, my wife showed up in the second half, and I told the story, but she led that one guy to the Lord, and then it was a Spanish speaker, so I was trying to lead the wife to the Lord, the guy's wife. And, you know, what's interesting is he's the one that was helping me. She was arguing with me, and he's like, no, it's by faith alone. He was bold, like he was shutting her down. One thing, what happened? He got saved, he was indwelled with the Spirit, and now he was confident that he could speak with authority. But people who hope they're saved stay silent, right? What has the modern church done? They have sacraments, they have works, they have things like commit your life, or a relationship with Christ, or make him Lord of my life. But what's the result? No soul winning. As a matter of fact, you talk to people, I would venture to say even the people that were fighting on that Facebook post don't really even know what we mean by soul winning. It's like a foreign concept. It just goes over their head. Point number two, like I said, I only have 3 points for you today. We're almost done. Point number two, so the first one is that we get certainty. We get clarity. As a matter of fact, one of the things that I love about the new IFB is I'm not new IFB because of a bunch of group of guys. I'm new IFB because they keep harping on the Word of God, right? When I started soul winning, it was the Romans Road. I think the Romans Road is great. But you know what the Romans Road doesn't have? Eternal security and, you know, the fact that Jesus conquered hell. And you say, why does that matter? Well, because a lot of people could get saved, but, you know, sometimes they think they can lose their salvation unless you clear that up. And you want to give them that confidence to say, hey, you're in the Father's hand and you're in Jesus' hand. No man can pluck you out. It's forever, because that's the most common attack the devil will do when you're at your weakest. He'll try to convince you that you're not saved. Hey, once saved, always saved. Number two, the King James defines the gospel clearly. It's not up for interpretation. It's very clear, right? And I've already proven it to you, but I'm going to keep proving it. The modern versions, they blur the gospel. In 1 Corinthians 15, right there in verse 1, says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and where ye stand, but which also ye are saved, that ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. Amen. The ESV says, now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. And you know what? I'm not going to read the rest of it. That's it. That ruins it. You're not being saved. You're saved. You know, nothing pisses me off more than an unclear gospel. Because people are going, you know, for 25 years, I actually thought I was going to heaven. I was a great Seventh-day Adventist, man. I could have been toe-to-toe with the Jews. Like, I didn't do anything on Saturday. I fasted 24 hours every Saturday. You know, I kept the Sabbath. You know, I tried to eat like a healthy, you know, diet. I did all of that. And you know what it was getting me? Nowhere. Because if I would have died, I'd end up in hell for all eternity. You know, when you're young and dumb, you have some close calls with meeting your maker. I mean, I don't know. Anybody was dumb and young? I was just letting you know. Don't be dumb and young, because those close calls, it's only by God's grace that I'm standing here today, right? Ephesians 2:8, the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The NIV says, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. It is not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast, right? Salvation in the King James is the present reality, right? By grace through faith, where in the NIV, it smooths out the sentence, but adds wording and kind of shifts the structure. It's subtle. You really have to actually sometimes even read it a couple of times, because you're like, but there, you're like, this doesn't, something's off, right? The King James is just more sound. It's a more sound word, right? It's a more sure word.
By the way, I actually believe, and I'm 100%, I stand on this. This is a hill I will die on. I don't think you could get saved out of any other version in the English language. People are like, well, I got saved out of the NIV. Okay, if you were to drill down to that person, I guarantee you at some point in their life, seeds were planted by a King James only believer. And it never fails. You're like, oh, so that was the first time you heard the gospel? No, I grew up going to, like that guy, right? He's like, I grew up in a Baptist church under the King James, and I've memorized a lot of scripture in what? The King James. What's in his spirit? The Word of God. It's kind of hard to fight that, right? Romans 5:8, the Bible says, but God commended his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The ESV says, but God shows his love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God didn't say he loved you. He commended his love. He proved it. Commending is to prove it, to demonstrate it, to cross it out in evidence. It's not just showing, but it's making sure that it's done. It's proved. It's proven, right? It's complete. It's not a demonstration like I'm showing you, like, hey, I died on the cross. I was buried for 3 days and three nights. On the third day, I rose again. I was seen of 500 people on earth. And then I ascended up to heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father. That's proof. Not just like this thing, right? I don't have a cross reference for this one, but Titus 3:5, the Bible says, not of works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, right? By the way, a clear gospel message is just so much easier to preach. Because if you muddy the waters, it makes soul winning really hard. Who's ever run into someone who's saved but can't even give you a clear answer? It's confusing. It's frustrating, right? I've literally talked to Baptists about this, repent of your sins. And they're like, oh, well, you have to repent of your sins. I literally had a conversation with this guy, maybe not a decade ago, but like 5-6 years ago, a Baptist, the son of a Baptist preacher. And he was kind of all up in arms. He heard about Steven Anderson. You know, it's always like this big thing. And he's like, you listen to Steven Anderson? I said, yeah, he's my friend. It's not a problem. He's like, well, yeah, but I mean, you have to repent of your sins. I was like, well, yeah, but what do you mean by that? He's like, well, you know, it was like this back and forth. You know what we ended up concluding? That you didn't have to repent of your sins. That you just need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to get saved. I was like, well, why even use that term? Why? Because it's just been drilled into their brains and drilled into the narrative. And everybody's just like, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay. Well, what about just reading your own Bible? Reading your word, the King James, and discerning this from, you know, I don't have to clear this up for you. You can clear it up for yourself. Point number three, and we'll close out. I got 10 minutes and I'm on time. I was like, I want to get everything across, but I don't want to rush, but I also want to cover it. The King James commands us to go soul winning. It's not a suggestion. It's not. It's not a maybe you need to go soul winning. It's a command from the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what's sad about most Baptist churches is that most of them aren't soul winning. And by the way, I just want to clear up. I'm pro any church, even if they don't soul win exactly like we do, if they're soul winning. There's a church in McAllen, Texas. Every Saturday, I follow their Facebook feed. Every Saturday, they fill up a van and they get people out there. And I've been soul winning with one of his guys who doesn't even take a Bible because he doesn't think he needs a Bible. But they go out soul winning. And he does know the gospel. He's just lazy about the Bible. I don't know why he doesn't take a Bible, but that's irrelevant. Every Saturday, they're out soul winning. The church is called Maranatha Baptist Church. The preacher, I met him one time. He does not like me. Because he found out who I associate with. And you know what? If he said, let's go soul winning, we would. I've actually gone soul winning with his church. So we're not the only ones. And they do it every Saturday. And the Lord's rewarding that church. And it might not be the same rewards we're getting, but they're doing the work. There's another church, the church we served when I first lived in the Valley, when my wife and I first got saved, Harvest Baptist Church. Pastor Yontz, I love that guy. He's a great stalwart of the faith. And you know what? We've gone soul winning. And they have nothing to do. I don't even think they would ever want to do anything with it. There's a church here in Houston. It's the only one I mentioned because it's the only one I know. West Baptist Church down over here in Katy, they say they soul win. I've never gone soul winning with them, but if they say they're soul winners, who am I to tell them they're not? So I'm just saying there are churches, but if you look at all the Baptist churches in Houston, I can literally find two Baptist churches that say soul winning on their website. Ours and theirs. How many Baptist churches, forget Southern Baptist, just independent Baptist churches are there in Houston? A ton. Right? I mean, and here's kind of like just these mini sub points, but to kind of reemphasize this point, in the command is to go soul winning. The King James is the only one that does that, right? The modern versions, they remove the evangelistic power. Go to Psalm 12. Psalm 12, we know these verses well. Psalm 12, verse 6, the Bible says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. And then it says, thou, me, or you, as an individual, shall keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Right? But it's talking about God himself, that he shall keep them and preserve them from this generation forever. The NIV says, and the words of the Lord are flawless. Flawless is not pure. You know what I'm saying? You know how I know this? There's a game. I would never recommend it, but we grew up playing a game called Mortal Kombat, which is a horrible game. You know, this is back in the 90s. I think it's still around. And there was a thing you could do in that game when you beat the other opponent. It was a fighting game. It's called a flawless victory, meaning that you just did it perfect. That was impure, by the way. It was some pretty grotesque stuff that they were showing, right? It says, and the words of the Lord are flawless, like silver purified in a crucible, not in the earth, like gold. Nowhere did it even say gold. Refined seven times. It says, you, Lord, will keep the needy safe and will protect us forever from the wicked. Not even close. Just not even in the same vicinity. Not even in the same ballpark. Same page, different book. Like just not, just a whole other meaning. Right? The King James commands us to soul win. And soul winning churches need a final authority. You know what our authority is? The Lord Jesus Christ. The Word of God. The Bible says that Jesus is the Word. The authority is not me. I'm just the steward of God's, you know, bounty on our church. The authority is the Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Timothy 3:16, the Bible says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. In the ESV, it says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for what? Teaching, for reproof. Notice the difference. Doctrine and teaching are different because teaching is, you can teach anything. Doctrine saying, hey, this is what we're going to teach you. The teaching of the Word of God, right? For reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Notice the difference. Instruction and training are two different things. Training denotes that you're getting trained in works. Instruction is, hey, I'm instructing you in righteousness. The first instruction I'm going to give you is, are you saved? I don't argue with people anymore. When I was a young man, that was my favorite thing to do. As I got older, I'm like, first, if you're not even saved, well, the Bible says the natural man understandeth not the things of the Spirit of God, right? Because they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he discern them because they are spiritually, I mean, neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. So why would I argue with someone if I don't know they're saved? You notice the first thing I did with Kurt was like, hey, are you saved? And if you are saved, then let's get you on the right track, right? The King James commanded us to go soul winning. And you know what? The biblical church has always been a soul winning church. You don't have to go there for the sake of time. I've got a couple of things to cover, but Acts 5:42, and daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Acts 8:4, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere, what? Preaching the word. Acts 20:20, and how I kept nothing back that was profitable unto you, but showed you and have taught you publicly from house to house. Where do we get our soul winning doctrine? From the Bible, from the book of Acts, but not only from the book of Acts, just from the entire Bible. So I was looking up some stats. It's interesting. By the way, the young generation, you have to learn. It's the only time I'm going to promote manipulation. You have to learn. You're going to have to learn how to manipulate internet data because it's so one-sided, and it's always for the devil. So I kept looking up, like, what's the most popular Bible version? And it's like the NIV. And what's the Bible that sold most copies? The NIV. I finally was like, hey, what's the Bible that has sold the most copies, right? Because that's what I had to get to. But right here, I put, what's the most popular Bible version? And it gave me like the top 10. And of course, the King James is number 3, but it's still one of the most popular versions, according to this data. But I'm going to prove to you that it's number 1 here in a second, right? It says, so then I asked it, how many copies of the King James have been sold? That was the manipulation. Like, I had to ask it a different question because it would never give me a straight answer. I know the King James is the most popular version because you go anywhere, like outside of Walmart and bookstores, what can you get at the dollar store for a dollar? Or maybe $1.25 now. The King James Bible, right? You can still get them everywhere. So it says here, it is impossible to determine the exact total for all King James versions. Bible sold since 1611. And the reason is because it's a public domain and the printing wasn't like it is today, right? Without centralized reporting. However, the Bible is the best-selling book in history. And the King James has over 5 billion copies sold since 1611. Over 5 billion. And I know that kind of feels like... So then I was like, because everywhere you went, it's like the NIV is the most popular version. In modern times, the NIV. It used to be the King James, but now it's the NIV. So I was like, well, maybe... You know, maybe I'm wrong. I was like, if I'm wrong, I'll eat crow. And so I put in Google, I said, how many copies of the NIV have been sold? And the New International Version Bible has sold over 500 million copies worldwide since its publication in 1978. 500 million copies. So imagine if the Bible was 1 inch thick, right? And you stacked 500 million NIV Bibles. The stack would reach 7,900 miles high. It's pretty high. But if you did the same with the 5 billion King James Bibles, and it's more than that, it would reach 79,000 miles high. So basically, that would cause it to go around the earth 3 times. I'm just giving you a visual just because nobody really ever quantifies million to billion. It's like night and day. Like there's no it's not even in the same conversation. It's like saying, oh, Enrique's a really good runner, which I'm not because I broke my clavicle, but just, you know, Pastor Reyes is a really good runner. I mean, he's such a good runner that he is literally, 90% as good as Usain Bolt. People would be like, why are you even comparing that? I mean, like if Usain Bolt and I like lined up, even in his 40s, right here in the grass, and the gun went off for a little race, people would be like, are you even going to race? I'd be like, I am. I'm starting. He's already at the finish line. Like, that's how vast the difference it is, right? Like, it just makes me look like chump change. It's like saying that, I was going to play Michael Jordan one-on-one and I might have a chance. it's laughable, right? That's exactly the difference here. Like, it's not even in the same vicinity, right? It's not even saying that they're in the D league or in the minors. They're not even in the league. They're playing some video game version of a basketball game when Michael Jordan's playing the real thing. Let's close this thing out. Go to Mark 16, verse 15. The Bible says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The NIV said, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Matthew 28, 19, verse 20. The Bible says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. The ESV says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always into the end of the age. What? That doesn't even make end of the world, end of age. Two different things. And then Proverbs 11:30, we know these verses. It says, the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. The NIV says the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and the one who is wise saves lives. What? The ESV, actually, this is the only one I included both because it's so weird. It says the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and whoever captures souls is wise. I got it. That's what I. That's exactly what I envision. You're like those guys that come here with the little Pikachu app. I got a soul. What a bunch of. I mean, seriously, it's laughable, right? And then at the end, right here, some guy. I have one more comment, and then go to Daniel 12, and we'll close this thing out. Some guy named Bradley Smith said, "There's no such thing as a soul winner. You can't even win your own soul. You will quote, 'He who wins souls is wise,'" referring to Proverbs 11. Great. You can't read in context. This is about winning a guy over to a debate or a conflict on earth. It has nothing to do with eternal salvation. It doesn't matter what version you have if you can't understand it. Like, I mean, it's in context. Like, I don't get it. I went back and I've read Proverbs 11, but I still read it. And it's like, bro, like, nothing to do with in. But I understand now. If you're reading this crap version, yeah, of course you think it's something different. Daniel 12:3, and then we'll close this thing out. Daniel 12:3, this is talking about soul winning. It says, "And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." In the NIV, it says, "Those that are wise shall shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever." And then there's a footnote on the wise, it says, "or who impart wisdom." So people are reading this and they actually read the footnotes. They're like, oh, so it's not someone who's wise, but someone who's actually imparting wisdom. No, the Bible says the way you get wisdom is by being a soul winner, not that you're some wise person who's teaching others to be wise. We have no wisdom of ourselves. The only wisdom we have is if we have Jesus Christ in our life and we're indwelled with the Holy Spirit, right? So in closing, we need to be soul winners, and you better be using the King James. And you better, you know, I don't know what else to tell you. Like, if you don't like it, then you need to get right with God. If you disagree with this statement and you were raised that way, you're backslidden, you're wicked, you're slothful, you're lazy, you better get on the right track. And if you don't get it, then the only way you're going to get is to get saved first, and then we can bring you to the right side. There's no way, no two ways about it. So let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for today. Thank you for the preaching, Lord. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you that you're so clear, so bold, so concise. Thank you that you encourage us to be strong and of good courage and to not fear, Lord, and to come to the throne of grace boldly and to preach boldly. And I pray, Lord, that our soul winners would be more bold today than ever before. And I pray that you would give me boldness more than ever before, Lord. And that is a biblical prayer in Ephesians 6, Paul saying, hey, pray for me that I may preach and utter words more boldly. So, Lord, I just ask, Lord, that you would continue to give us the strength. I know that you'll always preserve your word, that it will always be the creme de la creme. And, Lord, I just thank you for all the people here in attendance today. Be with Pastor Cobb. He wasn't feeling very well today. Be with all the expecting mothers that aren't feeling well either. And just bless our efforts as we go out into the highways and the hedges. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's turn our hymnals over to page 55. Page 55. "When the roll is called up yonder." Which makes me think of Sister Millie. Pray for Sister Millie. I guess with the surgery, they messed up one of her nerves. She's going to be able to recover, but I think she's going to have to close her shop. So she's been cutting hair for as long, I mean, over 50 years. And that's the way that's her livelihood. She's a single mother. She has grandkids now. But just pray for her. She's pretty bummed about it. So just pray that that recovers quicker and she can get back to doing whatever she's doing. The reason I say this is her favorite hymn. This is literally probably our anthem because she loves this hymn so much. We sang it for years, all the time. So, "When the Roll is Called Up Yonder," 55. "When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. On that bright and matchless morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of his resurrection share. When his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Let us labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. You are dismissed.